Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into the product page. We're looking at all the things that you need to do to make this page successful and how you need to think about this page in a new modern e-commerce site. So let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you?
Hey Mark, very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Right, today what we wanted to talk about was the product page of an e-commerce site. And the reason we want to talk about product page is because it has become a lot more important than the page. Obviously in the book we go through a product page checklists and the courses we really dive into it. But this one, from the kind of concept of the product page of what it is and has become, I thought it'd be interesting to do.
Yeah.
So what would your first thoughts be if you were trying to design a new product page, Ian?
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely, interesting. I was going to say we should probably call it, the most important page of your e-commerce site. It's because a couple of reasons why, just going back to the history, 5 years ago, people used to go dutifully through homepage category and then to the product page. You didn't get that many people actually landing straight on the product page. And that's because if you think about where the traffic was originally coming from, 5-6 years ago, it was coming through pay-per-click text ads, so, organic SEO or direct typing. And it was rare that a product page was the one that actually came up organically. It was normally the category of the home. So basically, people came through the home category, product, in that order. Whereas now, the traffic sources have changed. It's very much around Google Shopping and social ads, social, and people are landing on the product pages. And so it's naturally become a much more important page because it's the landing page. It's the first thing people see. And therefore, it's a critical page. It's the most important page. And it's, and when you think about when people talk about CRO, conversion rate optimization, they're typically thinking about the shopping basket or the checkout or, something on the homepage or, some sort of, the add to basket button or, and it's like, well, hang on a minute. Just think about that journey, that flow. You start to realize that actually the product page then is so critical because it's got to do a lot of jobs. The product page has got to be the landing page for a first time customer or visitor who's never bought before, doesn't know who you are, lands up for the first time. And it's also got to be the page that helps convince somebody who's been to the site many times, might be, ready to buy, or it might be an existing customer. So it's really, really important.
Well, I think
there's a general, general history why it's important, why we say product page, why we don't say homepage or basket or checkout.
Yeah. I mean, what's important to think about is that, traditionally, people would have designed an e-commerce site, and that's how those structures kind of come from, was basically people landing on the homepage, them seeing a little bit about the story. When traffic used to go through the homepage, one of the split tests we ran was like taking pricing off the homepage. And actually we got a lot better conversions by taking pricing off the homepage because it was like, well, first land on the homepage, get the story, get the kind of imagery, get the kind of aspirational look and understand the brand and what you're buying into. Okay, then you go to the category, then you might have a image at the top of the category that would frame the collection of the products that they're going to see, and then they'd go into the product page. So by the time they got to the product page, they knew what the brand was, They knew the frame of the collection and how that fit into everything. And they also knew probably, you know, there'd been some authority points on the homepage talking about why the brand was, you know, very popular and lots of people were buying from it. And so they'd been on a journey which got them ready to buy when they're on the product page. And that's not happening now because they're landing directly on the product page.
And also they knew where they were in the site because they'd come through homepage, category and product. Whereas when they land on the product, they don't know where they are, you know. So you know, they don't know what category they're in. So they don't. They're not going to go back. You click back, and you're going back to Google. So the temptation to do that is so high, and that's why bounce rates have increased, isn't it? Because more people's coming from Google or Google Ads or Facebook to the product page. That's why bounce rates have, you know, generally we've seen that they've increased. I mean, they've increased as well because of mobile uses too. But, you know, you look back, the bounce rates were never as high as they are now. You know, the average bounce rate for an unoptimized product page coming from Google Shopping is like over 85%. You know, that never would have happened 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, because they would have had to find the product page through the homepage clip. Yeah. They don't, you know. So basically what I was saying, I was talking to someone last night and you know, someone, I was looking at their site for them. And, you know, it was typical kind of that story where it's like, right, why am I not getting a decent return on advertised spend ROAS on my Google Shopping? And I was like, well, you know, your story's not there on the product page. And I said to them, what you need to do is if this page, if this product and this product page was your entire website and you had to get all your messages across on that product page, what would you do? And that suddenly got them thinking. It's like, well, you know, we're not telling them that, you know, you can't tell on that page that we've got 22,000 followers on Instagram. You can't tell on that page that we've got, we're an authority and there's lots of customers buying this product and this is what they're doing with it. You can't tell that we're stocked by some of the biggest stores in the country. You know, there was lots of things there that you just wouldn't know. You'd basically land on that page and you'd think, oh, this could be a product that someone has literally made in their bedroom and thrown up on the website with like print on demand.
And you also couldn't tell that they had a huge big selection of this of similar products that were the same as that, a massive category as well.
Yeah.
You know, so if it wasn't the right product, they didn't even say, you know, they had lots of other ones that were similar to that, but they weren't showing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also
so it's what we call a dead end page.
This brand I was thinking about was actually known for one particular thing in the market. They were known for like this big pain point. And then you come to the product page and it was kind of like a secondary point. And it's like, well, if that's your big pain point, then that needs to be big on the product page. It can't just be a secondary thing because you can't assume that they've been and seen that on the homepage. So therefore, you know, it needs to be, if that's why people buy your items, that needs to be one of the main things you see on the product page.
It's such a good visualization that when you say, right, imagine that the product page was your entire website, you know, and think about it like that.
Often that does happen because if you think, like, if you look at Google Shopping and Google Analytics and you go and look at your product performance in Google Analytics and then you segment that at the top to say, like, I just want to see Google Shopping traffic. So usually Google Shopping campaigns have shop in them, so basically I just want to see campaigns traffic from campaigns with shop in them coming into Google Analytics. And then you're on the product performance. And then on the second, you put secondary dimension, you put in the landing URL or destination URL. You'll then see the product that they bought from Google Shopping and the landing page they landed on. And often for a lot of sites, it's very similar. So it's like the product they landed on from Google Shopping is the product they ended up buying. In a lot of cases. So in that case, if you think about that, then that is your product website. That is your entire website for that visitor, for that time, that is your entire website where they've got to do. Because a lot of people, you know, obviously what Ian and I say a lot is, you know, don't make the product page a dead end page, get them moving around the website so you do get more people buying other products. But as an aside, you're always going to get the majority of people buying the product that they see because that's what they've found that they like. So, so therefore,
it's interesting, isn't it? That, well, I was going to say, well, I was just going to say
they never see the homepage. They never see the homepage. They never see the category page.
Yeah.
Those people. Well, so your website is that product.
And I would ask you, it's good because it leads on to what I was going to say, which is helpful. But the homepage, you know, traditionally 5 years ago was the entry point. Now the homepage is for returning visitors.
Yeah.
And it's the remarketing ads and it's the display remarketing and the abandoned basket emails and abandonment triggered emails, bringing people back to the homepage. So ironically, they are seeing their product page first, they're abandoning, and then they're being followed up by all the automated remarketing ads. It's bringing them back to the homepage. So they're seeing the homepage on their second, third, or fourth visit.
Yeah, and
which
in Google
is
Analytics,
very different to what it used to be like.
Yeah, you can see if that's a big channel for you in Google Analytics. If your homepage has a low amount of visits but a high amount of revenue coming through it, because you'll be getting like, oh, my homepage is only getting 20% of the landing page traffic, but it's actually getting 50% of the sales, and that's because people have come to your product page and then come back to your homepage later.
But you know, you could say, well, look at the landing pages in Google Analytics, and you'll always see homepage really high up there, but it will be that is returning visitors. You know, that have originally come through the product page and you know, gone from there. And I bet you when you were designing your website, you did the homepage first. I bet you did.
Mm.
I bet you did, because everybody does. Everyone's like, oh, I'll do the homepage first. And actually, and then you go and you do the product page, and the product page becomes almost like a kind of mechanical, technical exercise. Yeah, there's the product page. There's the add to basket button. There's the, the options. Yeah, description goes underneath. You know, yeah, we might put it on an Instagram feed or, you know, things like that. Christ, you should start with the product page first.
Mm.
You start with it
and
first.
Backwards,
and if it's mobile, if it's mobile first, it's like people mobile first. We would say product page first. That's our new marketing, you know, bloody slogan.
Mm.
You know, everyone's like mobile first. Well, product page first. Because the product page is, because if your product page isn't right, you know, you won't have a homepage to even worry about, because they won't bother going. They'll bounce off. They won't even come back. Mm. So it should be.
I think it's just
first.
The way that people design the websites is because you're so close to the websites. They have the homepage and they see everything, and then they get to the product page and they go, oh yeah, well that makes sense because we've done that and done that blah, blah, blah. But it's like, well, let's imagine the product page is your website. Is everything there? And then I think that's a conversation that it's just a framing that you kind of go, it's not. And it's like having these, you know, our bugbear about having carousels on the homepage. And the reason that they're there is because then, you know, the e-commerce owner can go, oh, well, I don't really know what to push on the homepage, so I'll push all these five things. Oh, I can have five banners. So you're just, it's an avoidance of the difficult conversation where you go, well, what am I pushing now at this time? And what is the one message that's most important to the main majority of the customers? And it's the same with the product page. It's like, what main messages do I need to get across? Because, you know, when we did a lot of those analysis with those eye tracking movements to see where people are looking on the product page, it was quite obvious very quickly that there was only three places that people looked, and the rest of the page was like they were completely blind to. And that was around the add to basket button, around the product title and the image. And those three places were the only real place that people saw. So, you know, by moving the elements that you really need them to see around to those areas, you're going to increase the amount of conversion. You know, you might say, oh, I've got free delivery information on the page, I've got my returns information on the page, but if it's not near one of those three items, they're not going to see it. Because, well, the majority of people aren't going to see it, even though they think they do, because we haven't got their full attention.
No, exactly. We always used to use the analogy of that. Look, imagine if your customers were looking at your website, you know, they've had two double gin and tonics, you know, it's a Friday night, kids are running around, you know, they're tired, and they're half there. You know, they don't care as much about your brand as you do.
No.
And you've got to imagine that they are half drunk on a Friday night. And you've got to make it incredibly obvious and much easier.
Well, let's imagine it's like when that kind of frame of mind is similar to when people sit down in front of the telly at night, in front of Netflix, and they go and look at the easiest things to watch. They don't go and hunt for things a lot of the time. They basically go, oh, what's trending? Oh, it's something on trees. I'm going to watch that. And then the whole country starts watching something on trees just because it was easy to do, because it was like it was there. And they clicked on it and they watched the first few minutes of it and it was okay. And then they watched it. So it's the same thing with the product page. It's like, if you don't make it easy,
you've got to know,
it's not going to happen.
And that's why you've got to understand the job to be done. And that's why we go into that. And we talk about looking at the positive reviews, why people love your stuff and why people hate your stuff with negative reviews. And you've got to agitate those. You've got to work out what people are worried about, what people are aspirational about.
Mm.
And you've got to push those in the right place.
You've got to make the framing. You've got to make the framing right for someone, so they go, "Oh, this isn't a pair of shorts. This is actually, I'm buying into this whole lifestyle brand. And if I get the pair of shorts, then I'll get to experience that brand, and then maybe I might want to go and buy these other stuff because it looks really good, and I want to be part of this, and it makes me feel like the kind of energy that I'm trying to create in my family, and it's this fun energy, and that's what I want. And I don't just want the run of the mill shorts from Primark. I want to actually use something different. I want to create this feeling, and that's what I'm going for. That's what you've got to create, and they've got to buy into that. And there's no way you can get them to buy into it by just showing them the product, because at the end of the day, if you just show the product picture, and it's just a pair of shorts on a white background, all you're doing is basically saying, you're bringing them back to the product. This is what it is. This is what it physically is. So you need to kind of, it's all about framing. It's all about framing and putting it into the right conversation in the customer's mind, so they understand that you're not selling a pair of shorts. You're actually selling a lifestyle.
I know. And I think practically, let's just consider you've got the framing right, and you brought the right person to your website who is right demographic. The first thing that's going to go through their mind is this the right pair of blue shorts, or is this the right hammer, or is this the right, car battery, whatever the hell you're selling? And that, or is there something better? Is there something better? Will I like something more? So you know that, and that's the first thing you've got to solve. So if it's a pair of blue shorts, you've got to go, here's all our other blue shorts. Or if it's a car battery, here's the other car batteries that go well. Or, we were talking about to a jewelry website the other day, and we were saying, if you're buying, if this is a gift for men, and it's your most popular products, you'd have a very clear, easy link to show other gift for men that were popular. So you make it very, so it's not a dead end page. Once you've then shown them that, you're showing, hey, actually, look, if you really like, men's silver bracelets, here's all of our most popular men's silver bracelets that people buy at the same, price point. So you'd make it very easy to link to that. And then
I think you're alluding to a little what, because last week when I taught the level two people, I introduced everybody to the iceberg technique. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it's basically like the tip of the iceberg technique. So what we were doing was we were going on to the most popular product pages, and then we were looking at the kind of information we could find about what people did that wasn't obvious. So it wasn't easy to do necessarily on the product page. So we're looking at the next pages, we're looking at on-site searches on the page, and we were using those as the analogy of, well, those are the tip of the iceberg. If we made that more easy, there's a whole iceberg underneath the surface of people that would do that and go down that path if we made easy.
So we essentially looked at the most popular landing pages on the site. And product pages specifically. And then we looked at the pages they went to after that.
Yeah.
And we made that more obvious. And then it tells a story of what people actually want.
Yeah.
So basically, there's a lot of people, for the people that do click through, there's a lot of people that don't, a lot of people that bounce.
Yeah. So we, I can't remember that game show where, you know, that you ask a question and they have to, they give you the question and they give you the answer and you have to give them a question. You know, it was like, you know, what are four types of penguins kind of thing. It was kind of like
that. Must be a New Zealand show.
No, I think it's pop. I think it's Jeopardy or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, so what we were doing with the iceberg technique is looking at those next pages and then working out the questions. So it's like, you know, and so like it was the silver jewelry guy. It was more like kind of like, okay, yes, I like this jewelry, but I'm buying a gift for my father. Do you have anything else? You know, so it was like, I'm not quite convinced that this is the right bangle for me. Can I see some other bangles? Or
well. It was basically it was a silver bangle for men, and so you know, therefore you know, okay, they want silver bangles. So here's all the other silver bangles, and it was 50 quid. You know, so here's silver bang. Here's gift ideas for under £50. Gift ideas for men. View all silver bangles. They're the three things they are. So it's straight away. It's not a dead end page. And then once you've ticked that box, say, right, there's not a dead end page, we're continuing this journey, just like you would in a normal shop on the high street, you know, a normal physical bricks and mortar store. Once you've done that, then if you're selling a problem-solving rational purchase that's more of a, you know, methodical problem-solving thing, then you agitate the problem through your copy and your reassurances, your guarantees and your, you know, the message you're trying to portray. But if you're selling an emotional lifestyle luxury product, then you sell the desirability and you're trying to increase the desirability through brand and imagery and copy and all those things. And if it's a problem solving one, you're trying to show convincibility that you can solve that problem. And that's quite straightforward if you think about it. You know, you're trying to put the seed of doubt there that other people won't be able to solve this problem better than you can. I mean, the story that we always talked about was the shed company. You know, where you know everyone's selling the shed in the UK. Pretty much everybody gets these wooden sheds from the same place, and they're all the same price points, all the same quality, all the same materials. But there was one particular one that said that this shed comes with 10-year anti-rust galvanized nails. Now, all of the shed companies online, so they all came with the same nails, but these guys said, our shed comes with 10-year anti-rust galvanized nails. All the other websites just said, comes with nails. You know, so who are you going to buy? Who are you going to buy your shed from? You're going to buy it from them? I don't want my sheds to rot. It wasn't even so. I'm now anxious about this. You know, I know I've said this example before, so everyone's listening to it, I think, sorry. But it's a great story, isn't it? That you're agitating the problem because it's a problem-solving rational purchase. So you're agitating that. Oh, my God, can you imagine how bad it's going to be if you build the shed and then your nails rust?
Especially if you're in a market that where the sheds are very similarly priced. They all look very similar.
Yeah.
So basically you're just kind of going, well, you know, if you buy our shed, these are the reasons why you should buy our shed, because we're giving you these extra little things. And these are going to make a big difference to your happiness with the shed. And you're pointing out, then you go, and you can see that the other product pages on the sheds, they're not highlighting that. So everybody's going to have that question. And, you know, like, a lot of people are loath to go and get into live chat or ring somebody up and say, I just want to do it. I just want to get it done. I don't want to have to speak to someone. If I wanted to speak to someone, I'd have gone into B&Q, you know? So it's making it easy, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, that particular example, the product page was massive. You know, it's a really long, big, scrolling product page. You know, it wasn't this sort of minimalist, you know, site. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. As long as it solves it goes through that process of desirability, you know, don't be a dead end page, increase desirability, you know, demonstrate convincibility, and then you go through the checklist that we've got in the book, which is, you know, make sure the outer basket is above the fold, make sure delivery information is very clear, make sure stock declaration is clear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you know, then you're really going to, well, basically, you're going to get the ad to basket up. And that's why we're talking about this. It's because it's the ad to basket stat, isn't it? You know, we want the ad to basket stat to be around, well, an average order value of £80, in lifetime customer value of twice a year. We want the ad to basket stat to be 10%.
Yeah.
You know, if your average order value is £500, obviously it's not going to be 10%. It's going to be lower. But on average, you know, run-of-the-mill, you know, stats the same, add to basket, it should be 10%.
Yeah. If you've got a decent repeat business and it's going, it should be pretty good.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it isn't. A lot of times it isn't,
no.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's something to aspire to. So that's the product page, really. And I mean, that's what you want to, you know, think about as your website, what you're getting across. You know, it's lots of split tests you can do on your product page to kind of like try different things and work out what messages work better than others. And
I just remember one thing, you know, and I think it's very relevant for the product page. Just remember, you know, if you see some feature or some product page layout, some widget, some, you know, some thing that someone's talking about, just think about, you know, how different stores are. If you're, you know, if you're walking down the high street and you're going into a clothing store versus a hardware store versus, you know, Timpson's Shoesmiths, it's a very different experience. And it's the same for you online. So don't think that one size fits all. Get you understand the job to be done and you know, focus on that first. And just think, what would our shop be laid out like if it was a physical, you know, store on the high street? Really think about that. Think about the mind frame people are in. Why are they buying their products? Is it to solve a problem or is it to feel better about their life? Is it a lifestyle thing?
Yeah.
Really think about that. And remember and that, yeah. Product page is the new website. The whole website is a product page.
Yeah. And also, I think if you've got to think about, let's say you were selling sheds. I mean, I don't think B&Q and people are like, they sell sheds very well. But if you were a specific specialist selling sheds, then you'd lay out the store differently. You'd have all the sheds built and you'd have an easy to walk around and you'd say, this is what it looks like, you know, in this kind of lighting and this kind of, you know, this is what it's going to do in this kind of environment. And, you know, you'd be really laying it out to optimize the choice. So people would stay and they'd go, well, I quite like that one, but I think I'll go for the 6 foot size because I can walk around in that one and I buy all these other
features. Well, the thing for the sheds, thing for you, because you're not going to buy a shed every year, obviously. No. Really, how do you make more money selling a shed? You increase the average order value, you get them to upgrade, you sell the optional extras, you sell the better shed with the with the galvanized roof, with the, you know, because you know that's you've got to make the most money you can at that time.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a fashion business or a more one that's got a better lifetime repeat business, then you really get that sale quick. And they become a customer and then they buy again and again and again.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of the time
it's about
a whole
different topic.
It's a different topic, yeah, about making the custom, making it easy for a new customer to kind of sample something and get on board. If you've got a high lifetime customer value, then it makes sense. But yeah, product pages. Let's everybody get your product pages sorted out and go and look at it as if it's your entire website is that product page, and then go and look see what's missing. And I imagine that a lot of you will go and have a look at it and go, oh, yeah, I'm not telling my main selling point in my site. I'm not actually got on the product page. So,
yeah. And check it on mobile. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
It's even harder.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. And as normal, if you haven't got a copy of our book, it's available on www.ecommercebook.co.uk. So get started with that. There's also the Facebook group that goes alongside the book where we put a lot of information and start doing a lot more Facebook Lives and stuff like that. And then, of course, our mentoring groups for startups and for our more established stores are ongoing. So if you want to get involved with any of those, please book a call with us. I think there's a link at the beginning of the podcast or should be in the show notes. If not, then it is e-commerce call. If you just go to ecommercecall@call.com, then you'll be able to book a slot with us and have a chat with us for a scaling session. And it'd be lovely to see what you've got going on in your businesses. So anyway, thank you very much, Ian. I'll speak to you next week.
OK. Cool. Thanks, Mark.
Bye.